Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to think back on the past week and tell me what kinds of things you were worried about. What kinds of things troubled you? Health. What else? Say that again. Oh, doctor's appointment? Yeah. Somebody else said something over here. The weather. What else?
Being alone.
Being alone. Aha. Family, yeah.
My son not coming to church.
Oh, yeah. Some other things?
Finances.
And pencils that stop writing because it broke. Priscilla. Oh, will my package get there by Christmas Eve? Yes, we all worry about those things too. Why did we procrastinate? Well, that's an idea of some of the things that we are concerned about. Certainly health is one of those things that all of us are concerned about. Everything can be going along just fine and then something happens and your health doesn't continue to be good, and so that's another thing that you have to deal with. This. I wrote down some other things here just thinking in case nobody shared anything. You know, aging, I worry about, I guess worry is not the right word, concerned about, you know, I'm going to be another year older here pretty quick. I never seem to get any younger. We get concerned about our children and our grandchildren. You know, what's the world going to be like for them? Where are they going to be in 20 years or 40 years or when they're our age? Where are they going to be? And then I've heard said in Sunday school lots of times, where is the world headed? Where is it going? What's it going to be like in 50 years? You know, will we be up to here in water? Will we be suffering from a lack of oxygen? We just don't know, and we don't know a lot of things. The interesting thing about all of that is that the world would really have us deny those things, deny that there's any problem, because after all, it's Christmas. It's the time when the whole world is supposed to be wonderful. There's not supposed to be any problems. The problems that you have are supposed to be covered up. It's time to eat and drink and be merry and to indulge not only yourself but your loved ones as well. The world would have us spend, spend, spend and deny that there are any problems in the world. So you might say, well, why in the world is that the way it is? Why should the world want us to deny that there's problems? Well, the simple answer is the world doesn't have answers for those problems. The world doesn't have answers for why we have financial problems or why we have health problems or why our children are problems. The world would rather just have us take a pill to make us feel better. The world would send us to a psychiatrist and find out from him or her what the meaning of life might be. And today the world offers up recreational drugs to help us feel better and to make all of those problems that we struggle with go away. And yet we know that happiness in this world is pretty fleeting. There's an old saying that this too shall change. And so if you're happy and excited, it will change. And if you're sad and depressed, hopefully that will change as well. Now let me ask you another question. What's the dichotomy here? What's the thing that doesn't make sense? Today we lit the joy candle, the pink candle. We're supposed to be joyous. We're supposed to be happy. This is Advent. Christ is coming. This is the day that we are supposed to be most joyful, perhaps, of all the year. And yet, when I asked what troubled you, there were lots of problems. I should have perhaps asked, what made you happy this week? But then that would have ruined my sermon, so we won't do that. And then we come and we read the epistle lesson for today. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Well, how do we rejoice with all of those problems? What is going on? How can we rejoice and be happy when we have all those worries in the back of our minds? There's all those problems that trouble us. How can we rejoice when there's so much negativity in the world? And then Paul has the audacity to say, and again I say rejoice. The Sunday school class will remember that this reading from Philippians comes at a time when Paul was in prison. And he was writing to the Philippians to encourage them. How could he say rejoice twice? How could that happen? To rejoice means to celebrate, to be cheerful, to be delighted, to be pleased about something, to be glad. And yet as I look out over the faces, I don't see a lot of smiles. I don't see much celebration. I don't see much expression of joy. The reason for that might be because there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness in our lives comes from something that's external to us, something that happens outside of us, and we respond to that with happiness. Joy, on the other hand, comes from within. It's something that comes up within us because of something that we feel. That's the joy that Paul is talking about. Maybe an example would help to understand that. I'll use myself as an example. When my retirement check comes, I'm happy. That's a good thing. I'm glad to have that happen. But for me, joy comes when I step out of that pew at the end of a service and say, go in peace, serve the Lord, and you respond, thanks be to God. That's the most joyous time in the world for me. Not because the service is over. It's because I have a sense of having accomplished what God wants me to do. I have a sense of completion. I have a sense of having done what God asked me to do. That's joy. That's something that comes up within me. And that's a feeling that I really have trouble describing. It isn't easy to find words that do that. And so we come back to Paul's admonition to rejoice. Let me read that to you one more time. And if you think about it, doesn't it sound like a set of instructions? Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says, and again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then he adds, somewhat parenthetically, if you do these things, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that sounds really good. We all want to have peace in our lives. But as someone responded to my message in a minute this week, they said this, that sounds easy and would lead to such peace, but not always easy to practice, especially when life does not go as we would have it go. And isn't that what happens with life? We set out on a goal, we have an idea, we want to get here, and then life happens, and we have a challenge, or lots of challenges. There was a post on Facebook last week. It had two frames, and the first frame said, "Your plan." And it showed a picture of a character, a cartoon character on a bicycle, and he was headed up a very slight incline with a huge flag at the end. And then the next frame down said, "Reality." And it showed the same character on a bicycle. But rather than a nice, gentle, straight road, there were hills and valleys, there was water to cross, there was ladders to climb, there were all kinds of problems. And that's what happens. Life happens to us. And that makes us unhappy. But it doesn't mean that we still can't have joy. It doesn't mean that we still can't rejoice. Perhaps we're missing something in that we kind of glossed over the first time. Paul says, we hear him say, "Rejoice." We maybe don't hear that last part. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't rejoice in the world. Don't try to make the world a place it isn't. There certainly are moments of happiness, but there are also moments of tragedy and depression in this world. And it's not possible for us to be happy all the time in this broken world. But we're not called to rejoice in everything. We're called to rejoice in Christ. So how do we rejoice, as Paul suggests? Let me read that one more time. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord." And he doesn't say, "Just rejoice on the third Sunday in Advent." He doesn't say, "Just rejoice when things are going well." He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Even when things are bad, we can rejoice. That sounds a little bit tough to take. How can we rejoice when things are not going well? When we lose someone? When there's some tragedy in our lives? For us to rejoice, we need to put our focus on God. It is in God that we must see and place our hope, because that's actually what we're after in the long run. It is in God that we must place our faith and our trust and our confidence. Today we lit that little pink candle, the joy candle. The candle that reminds us to live with joy, to rejoice in the Lord, not just today, but always. And that's where our focus needs to be. Rejoice in what God has done for us. Rejoice in what Christ has done for us on the cross. You see, God is the source of our rejoicing and our joy. It is in his promises that we rejoice and that we have confidence. It is in the hope of eternal life that we can rejoice and find true joy. So where then is real joy found? The answer is in Christ alone. Because only Christ alone can give you that peace that surpasses all understanding, and that's what we said we really wanted in our lives in the first place. And so today I have this prayer for you. May God's gift of joy dwell in you richly and in your hearts, not only today, but every day of the coming year as well. Amen. Now may the peace from Christ alone, the peace that surpasses all understanding, may that peace keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.